Hey, Fandango readers, thank you very much for checking in. We are so happy to be broadcasting from Pixar Animation Studios in beautiful Emeryville, California, where we were able to see the short film that will be attached to Monsters University in theaters on June 21st. The director is Sashka Unseld, and the short film is called The Blue Umbrella. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Good.
Very much.
I would like to emphasize right off the bat, first, that if you're buying a ticket to go see Monsters University, please get to the theater super early. I think that Pixar Animation audiences are trained to the fact that they're going to be treated to a wonderful short before the feature. But this one really is something that needs to be seen, especially on the big screen, because it deals in a photorealism in telling the story. And I would like for you to talk a bit about the fact that you might be a little bit surprised that this is all CG animation in the telling of this short.
Yeah, it's all CG. We all generated here at Pixar.
Okay.
Even though the idea was that the beginning, you think that it is a real world. It is the world that you would see when you step out of the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a magical moment in the beginning where the city kind of comes to life. And I was fascinated with the idea that it becomes a magical moment, the moment where things come to life. Mm-hmm. And I wanted people to first think of it as being real, where you don't expect things like this,
mm-hmm.
where it's a magical thing that something that was real and inanimate in 1 second suddenly becomes alive. And that moment was super important to me.
For the people who might not be familiar, the story takes place in a rainstorm in a nondescript city, which I think is supposed to be nondescript for a reason. And these two umbrellas, one that is brightly blue and one that is red, and their paths cross and how their story unfolds. I guess the obvious question I should ask you right off the bat is whether you're a believer in love at first sight.
Yes, definitely. I think everyone who's experienced it knows of it.
Okay. Tell me why it is a compelling... I mean, so many stories have been told in terms of fate keeping lovers apart. Mm-hmm. Why did you think this was a good way to tell it through this format?
Well, I love the idea of the central moment where the Blue Umbrella takes, as it is called, a leap of faith.
Okay.
There's a moment where the Blue Umbrella's owner wants to go one way, and the Blue Umbrella wants to go the other way, which is back to the Red Umbrella he just fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And they struggle, and the Blue Umbrella uses a gust of wind to break free from his owner and fly towards the Red Umbrella just by himself, taking a complete leap of faith, because an umbrella can't really do much by himself.
Right.
So he's slave to different gusts of wind or things happening to it, and he can't do anything against them, and kind of exposing yourself to that level of helplessness just to follow what you really want to pursue,
right,
and risking ultimately defeat, I think is true for a love story, but for so many things in life.
I would love to talk about the aspect of introducing wind as a very serious character, as a motivator, story motivator.
Yeah.
How difficult is that for an animator to convey something that we can't see?
It was interesting because a lot of the wind is in the rain. We see in the rain how the wind moves. And the rain is not done by the animation people, but by the effects people.
Okay.
So it was a huge project for the effects people, and they had way more time than they usually have to do rain, because for me, the rain and the wind and the weather is like a third character in the film.
Right.
There's moments when the rain is romantic and beautiful and soft, and it needed to look very different than the moments when it's harsh and brutal and not really nice.
Okay.
And they had to think like animators, and they also had to think like art directors. How does a beautiful rain look different to a really uncomfortable rain? And first it was a daunting task, but everyone loves a challenge, so they were really excited to actually do this.
Was there ever dialogue?
For the film?
Mm-hmm.
No, never. It was always kind of a classical silent movie.
Okay. Short films are difficult to get in front of a larger audience. Pixar, I like to believe, does a really great service in terms of finding an original voice and showcasing this. Talk to me about the importance of landing this slot, of landing the in front of a major summer blockbuster from a studio that the families are going to come and see because they trust the brand.
Yeah, I feel incredibly blessed by getting kind of just in front of Monsters University, because I feel like I'm nearly cheating it, because we don't advertise the short and people come to the cinema to see the short. People
right.
come to the cinema to see Monsters University, which is amazing in its own rights.
Mm.
But then they also all see my short. And I don't think there's any other outlet where a short film gets seen that much.
Right.
There's animation festivals, but it's a very limited audience. But this is probably the slot where you get the biggest audience you can ever get for a short film.
Right.
And that's just incredibly humbling, to be honest.
When you think about the audience, how often do you think about the fact that it might be kids, or it's predominantly going to be kids, and not to play over their head? Or do you have a lot more trust and faith in what a kid can process nowadays because of the way that animation has become more sophisticated?
I don't even think it's animation specific. I think kids are really good in understanding things, and I don't think you should limit yourself in the stories you tell just because there's also kids in the audience.
Okay.
Like, I just recently saw Jurassic Park again.
Right.
And you're like, that was for kids? Aren't they all damaged nowadays? No, they're not. We are all those kids.
Right.
And we're fine, and we're all good. It's like, well, kids understand grown-ups. And, I mean, they grow up with parents, and they know about the things that are going on. It's not like, I don't think we have to dump anything down just because there's kids as well.
Right. I'll get you out of here on this last question. For a lot of young audiences members, Monsters University and the Blue Umbrella could be one of their first theatrical going experiences. Parents bringing their kids to the theater to finally see these animation films on the big screen. I'm wondering if you remember what your first theatrical going experience was.
It was actually surprisingly late.
Okay.
I think my family didn't go to the cinema that much.
Okay.
But when we finally did, and there was a bit of TV stuff before, but when we finally went to the cinema, it was a Swedish movie called Brothers Lionheart, or based on an amazing children's book that I had read, or my mother actually had read to me, mm-hmm. from an author called, what's her name? Astrid Lindgren.
Okay.
A beautiful, beautiful movie, but I remember also being incredibly emotionally moved by seeing the film on the screen instead of just reading it. And that just, I think that feeling of immersion in a world and in characters that become your friend just stuck with me forever.
Well, I think audiences are going to be very friendly with two colorful umbrellas starting on June 21st when Sascha Unseld's short film The Blue Umbrella plays before Monsters University. Thank you so much for taking the time.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
I appreciate it.